Contenders, ready! Gladiators, ready! Three, two, one! The Gladiators!
Hello and welcome to the GladPod in association with Gladiators TV. I'm David Blackmore, and here with me once more is Jet and producer Paul, diving straight into the mailbag this week. And here's a nice little letter from Matthew Budden that caught my eye. His favourite gladiators, shock horror die, were Panther and Cobra. Jet doesn't get a mention. He makes a valid point when he says that now that he's older, he realises just how much the gladiators were role models, especially the female gladiators. Di, were you conscious of this? Was it something that was kind of drummed into you by the bosses that you were going to be these role models, or was it something you just naturally became aware of?
I don't think we knew from the outset, other than it was going to be prime time Saturday night, and we all had like 30 seconds to a minute to prove ourselves on each of the event, and that was probably the only remit. And yes, we had to be fit and in shape before entering the arena. That was our part of the contract, really. As for becoming role modelling material or anything like that that would influence people's mindsets or fitness habits, I don't think any of us would have been kind of like preordaining that at all in any way. And the fact that it seems like, thank you, Matthew, that has become the case, we just thank you. I think all of us would be able to just say thank you very, very much, even to this day, you know, all these years later, if we just managed to kind of, you know, steer somebody all those years ago away from various habits to other habits to become a bit fitter, a bit healthier, or have a different outlook on life if you're in a bit of a dark space, all good by me. And I'm sure the others would concur with that.
Yeah, and Matthew goes on to compare how with social media today, it's all about likes. And to an extent, he says kind of surgery or surgery you have to kind of change your appearance to kind of be more visibly liked, I guess, on social media. But the impact that both can have on your mental health, whereas he says the female gladiators showed you how you can be fit, healthy, and look amazing with hard work. And that's why he thinks glads should come back, because he thinks these kind of modern day reality TV stars are not good role models. And I think the thing is with that, by comparing, that I don't think they are comparable, gladiators, to a reality TV star, because a lot of these TV stars are like thrust into the limelight, just click of a fingers and they're there. And I think that rise to fame so quickly is difficult to managing. It's going to be overwhelming. And I think that's where you kind of get the issues for that. And then you get kind of the people aspiring to be them and the struggles that they then put themselves through. Whereas I think what we see from a lot of the gladiators is before they were gladiators, they were already either very well known in their field, like, you know, bodybuilding or gymnastics or anything along those lines. So that they were kind of, it was kind of the next stop on the journey for them. So for me, from the people we're speaking to, it seems like a continuation of a flow of their career path. And it's not something that just happens instantly. Would you agree with that, Di?
Absolutely. I think what you're seeing, I was actually going to do my master's on this, and I was going to call it Authentic Endeavour versus Reality TV. I think, you know, we've got to remember with some of the reality TV people aren't here to defend themselves. A lot of them come from a drama background. So a lot of what they're doing is improv around a sort of context or a script. So there's talent in that. But you're right, there are areas and fields of TV where there's no discernible talent, or what I call authentic endeavour in something you're good at, you're genuinely good at, to become famous these days. And I think a lot of people have got a little wiser and savvy to that, because we don't want our children and future generations role modelling somebody that's doesn't have any depth, doesn't have any kind of anything that really draws you in terms of what you give as someone in the public eye. You know, I think the TV doesn't lie, screens don't lie. If you've got something genuinely good to give, whether it's being a great host or somebody who can interview people really well, to being an athlete. And what I like about GLADS and a lot of our athletes and our team players out there is that there's nowhere to hide in your lycra. You have to be good. You know, you have to be authentic. You have to have authentic endeavour with a consistency of training, self-belief, raising your bar all the time to keep on top of your game. And I think that's why we love our athletes so, so much. And GLADS were part of that pack, because, you know, you either were good in the arena or you weren't, and there was nowhere to hide in your lycra. And that still translates to this day. And I think we like people who we know are credible and good at something. It does something inside of us when we meet somebody who's really good at what they do. It gives us all a little lift and a buzz because it's just called hard work and everybody admires that.
Matthew would like to hear from Eunice, and a name that comes up most weeks, Nightshade John Anderson. And also, he said he's particularly fascinated to hear from Gladiators, who only did one series. Obviously, we did Phoenix previously, but he would love to hear Hawk and Flame story, us too. But Paul, Matthew also rather enjoyed your episode. He was saying that he wasn't lucky enough to go to many shows, but managed to do 3 filmings and 2 live shows. But he thinks it'd be a great idea to hear from other fans about their experiences on the show. And I really like this idea. I think it's something you've mentioned before, Paul, as well, that we should definitely get another fan on. Maybe we pair up a couple of fans as to come on and share their stories. So it's definitely something that we're working on, Paul.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would love a fan episode where we could get as many fans on as possible to just chat about their experiences, what the show's done for them, how it's inspired them, because there's so many that has kind of gone on to different careers and career paths, all inspired from Gladiators, or that the fact that Gladiators has helped them out through a difficult time in their childhood, having that whole nostalgia element as well. I think, yeah, we definitely need to get a fan episode, ultimate fan episode, underway. So yeah, send in your details if you want to be involved and we can hopefully sort something out in the near future.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, actually. If you're interested in being involved in, like, as Paul says, it has to be something ultimate, doesn't it? If it's Gladiators inspired, the ultimate fan episode, then yeah, drop us a line, gladpod@gladiatorstv.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, although so many of you are already. And if you haven't done so already, please give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or whichever platform you listen on. Right, let's get on with this week's episode, shall we?
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to today's GladPod. We are joined by who was once Karen Annie. She is now Kaz Lenahan to her friends and to her family. But to the world, she was the premier lady of the Australian Gladiators, Delta. Welcome to the GladPod. You're looking amazing, I have to say.
Thank you very much. And that's very kind of you. That's a lovely intro. I feel very, very special right now.
That title is well earned, let me tell you.
The wall is a long way up, but it's also a very long way down, especially when you're being stalked by Delta.
And wouldn't everybody like to be stalked by Delta? 23, 5'7", 63 kilos. She's a former state swimming and junior netball champion. Delta plays only to win.
But take us back to the very beginning. How did it start for you?
Well, I was working in a gym and we had some talent scouts, I think because of the area where I lived in Sydney on the North Shore. And we had quite a few people that lived in the area who were producers on TV shows or, you know, part of TV. So they came into the gym one day and, you know, had a look around and said, look, we might be bringing in this series, new series. It's called Gladiators. It's coming from the UK. You know, if anyone is interested in wanting to be a part of it, then that would be great. So I think they sort of did a little bit of coming to each gym. And then all of a sudden, I remember there was a producer who was working on another series and he was a member at the gym. And I remember he came up to me and he said, you know what, you'd be fantastic for this new, you know, Gladiators show that they're doing. And I went, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm traveling all over the world in, you know, a couple of months. So at the time I was with James, my boyfriend at the time, and who later came onto the show as a challenger. But I said, look, we'll go and try out and we might go and win a TV or a car. So let's just go and try out and be a challenger. And I was happy with that. So I said, look, James was very, very interested in going. So I went, okay, well, let's go. And I was teaching lots of classes at the gym. Didn't think I was that strong, but I was super fit. So we headed out to the western suburb somewhere to do this trial. And I remember that at the time I was pretty healthy. I didn't really drink a lot of alcohol, but I remember I'd had a little bit of a rough night the night before the trials. So the next morning I was like, no, not going to happen. I'll line up with you. And I wasn't feeling great. And plus lack of sleep. So we went in and we had a little conversation. I said, look, I'm just going to sit over here. So back then we didn't really have phones. You know, now we can pick up our phone and do whatever. You just have to sit there and try not to make eye contact with anyone because you didn't want to be picked out. And at the time, that was me. So off they went. I'm watching everyone running up and down. Then I'm watching people running out, vomiting. And then I'm watching people fainting. And then I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is like the hardest thing I've ever seen in my life. The next thing I know, I'm sitting, I got shuffled across and I sort of pushed up to line up. And they said, just try out. We want you to try out. And I went, no, I don't really feel like it. And then one of the guys, I think he was in charge of one of the camera guys, he came up and he said, listen, and he put a camera in my face and said, I just noticed how you look, how strong you look, how fit you are. Can I interview you? So I hadn't even done one squat, one sprint, nothing. So he came up and he said, can you do gymnastics, anything? And I went, oh, I can sort of, been a while, but I'll try and throw something out. So I think I might have just done, I don't know, a forward handspring and a really bad back walkover. Anyway, and he went, oh, perfect. And I went, yeah, that was fun. And he said, all right, let's go. You're going to get in there and line up and we want you to have a go. And I sort of went, oh, okay, but I just want to be a challenger if I make it. And I just remember feeling sick the whole time, but thinking, oh my gosh, I'm ahead of the pack. So I must have been really fit. I don't know what it was, but I found it not as hard as what I thought it would be, but I was really scared. And then they said, climb a rope. And I'm like, I've never climbed a rope in my life. I've climbed a tree. And I don't know, I think I had the wrong technique, but lots of upper body strength. So I remember at the time I was very strong in my upper body. So I didn't use my feet at all, straight up with the arms, burnt my hands on the way down. And they said, okay, that's it, you know, move over here. And it was just, I don't know, it was really surreal because I wasn't really with it on the day. I was very tired. I'd had a big week of teaching. We had a lot of people running out, as I said, vomiting, fainting. Yeah, a lot of screaming. So we had an Australian martial artist, Bob Jones. He was just brutal. He developed this gladiator tryout. I don't know what, I think whether he was part of the army once or I don't know what it was, but you know, we had burpees, push-ups, rope climbs, knee jumps, sprints. We had to hold planks. I think we were doing squat jumps for a minute, and it was so brutal. So I ended up doing, I think, 5 or 6 minutes, and then they pulled me off and interviewed me again. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go sit down. And then James actually didn't get selected at that stage. So he was like, oh, what, they're interested in you and not me. So it was a bit awkward. And eventually I just put my name down and just said, okay, look, we're going to go. So we left and that was it. And I got a phone call pretty soon after. And they said, we really want you as a gladiator. We'd love you to come in and have a chat. And I pretty much just said, look, I'll have a chat, but I don't want to be a main gladiator, whatever that is. Had no idea.
Oh, okay. You want to climb up my pyramid? Just remember one thing. I'm undefeated.
I remember sitting down and they did show me a video, and I just remember seeing the beginning of this show, and I sat back and went, oh my gosh, this is like amazing. So I think, you know, had they maybe shown me that to start with, I maybe would have taken a little bit more seriously and thought, wow, this is fun. But, you know, I never really wanted fame so much, even though I'd done acting school and things like that previously. I didn't really want to be famous or well known. So that was a bit of a battle for me, but it looks so good that I think by the third time they rang me, they pretty much wore me down and just said, listen, just come in and have a chat to us. And so I sat down and they showed me this video and I was like sold. I went, I'm in.
I read somewhere that you had to sing at the end of your audition. Did you have to sing?
Oh my gosh.
And what song was it? Can you remember?
No, I can't actually. That is really bizarre. Probably, I know that they wanted us to show our talents and they were looking for a presenter as well. And I remember one of the girls who became Storm, Charlene. She interviewed me and I thought, oh, this is the new presenter. So I think they were sort of trialing different people out to see if they could multitask, or I don't think they knew exactly where we were going to be placed at the time, but they wanted fresh faces. But eventually we got the lovely Kimberly Joseph. So she was an actress and beautiful, and she was great. So there was her and Aaron Pedersen at the time. So we ended up with really great hosts, and they actually made it very comfortable for us as well because they had so much experience. So I used to have a lot of little pep talks in their room before going out and just say, please don't make a fool of myself.
You've just kind of stumbled into these auditions, stumbled through them, made a good impression, but you didn't say yes straight away, did you?
No. I think I just was so intent. I'm one of these people that I put my mind to something, and I really wanted to travel and I really wanted to go to Europe. And I think James and I had a really great connection. And I thought, you know, if we end up together, and I knew that if I ended up with someone younger, I'd want to have children not too old, but I wanted to travel first. So even though I had done a bit of traveling, not to the extent of after I did Gladiators, that gave me the opportunities for the International Gladiators to go to the UK. Then I went around to, you know, Spain and Mallorca and Paris and a few other places, Amsterdam. I think I just needed to live life, and I felt like maybe this was going to restrict me from doing that. And I was only 23. I think I just turned 23. So I was the baby of the team. And some of these guys were in their 30s.
Yeah. And had you seen Gladiators before? Like, or even during this process, did you then watch like the American or the UK version?
I just saw the UK one. I think that time when I did go in and have a chat and they talked to me about things, and then they played this video of what it was all about. And I remember seeing the hair flick jet. I think, oh my God, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. And they said, well, we would like you to be our Jet. And I'm like, I don't think so. Have you seen me? I don't look like Jet, and I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm attractive, you know, as attractive as her. And I don't think that I give you what you want. I don't have that much confidence. It was weird what they pulled out of me. And I just remember seeing the games, and I thought, wow, that is so cool. In the beginning, I just said, I will need someone to help me with what to say, because I don't know when we're being interviewed after games what we should say. So they had one of the guys, camera guys, and he'd stand there with he'd quickly write something on it after the game. So whatever happened in the game, he was quick-witted, and he thought of some, you know, whether it was corny or whether it was funny, something for us to say in our interview.
Delta, no one's got past you yet.
They sure haven't, and they're not going to either, because this is our mountain and no one's getting up it.
So it's agreed that you and Cheetah make a pretty good pair up there.
Over time, I sort of developed my own character and I got the confidence, and I don't know what switched to me, but I think I just eased into it and had a few people telling me I was doing a good job. And, you know, I don't know, something clicked and I just suddenly picked up the character and I loved it. And then they wanted me to be a little bit more, how can I put it, like nasty. So I was meant to be the nice but nasty one, but I couldn't get the nasty. So I stuck with the nice. So I developed this character myself, and he kept holding things up for me to say, and I'd just ignore what was happening and I'd say my own thing. So, because sometimes they would refilm and say, listen, can we just do that again, take two, which was a bit annoying because you lose the momentum of the enjoyment and the excitement. But that happened less and less, because I think I just was a little bit wittier with my own style of character then. But a lot of it was actually, I think at the time, me. I get lost in the competition, and I hate to look back sometimes at clips. The look on my face when I'm playing a game is like, I'm like a psycho, but I'm so fiercely competitive. And I don't like to lose when it comes to sport, but I'm a good loser. I'm good when it comes to losing. I don't like it, but I'll say well done. So, yeah, I was always, apart from being worried about all the wedgies that we had, it was also just, is my face really ugly right now? Am I really frowning? Am I growling at this girl? Am I screaming? Because inside, you know, you're trying so hard to win. And some of these girls were 10, 15 kilograms heavier than me, especially International Gladiators challenges. You know, they were much bigger, and I bounced off a lot of them. I couldn't take a few of them down, but I'd hold on. And I think that's when the time when I injured my neck, I literally hit a wall of a woman and fell backwards. So it was like a whiplash. So I had no weight behind me. I think I was only about 61 or 62 kilograms. I think she was about 77 or 8, and I just couldn't.
Laser dogs, Catherine, but she gets another two. Well done, Catherine. That takes her to four. Catherine arms herself once more. I think I heard the whistle. Catherine scored that one after the whistle, and it looks like Delta might be hurt.
Well, Delta, I'm going to turn to you first, because you had a very, very nasty knock on your nose, was it?
Yes, I did. It actually brought tears to my eyes. Yeah, I think she was just quite heavy. I'm not that big a gladiator anymore, but yeah, she just landed fair square on my nose, and I was sort of a little bit worried then.
Well, we were worried for you. But you say you're not very big, but you're very, very strong, and you carried on going, and that's what Gladiators is all about.
The thing is with you as well, so you joined Gladiators in 1995 for series one, and then you stayed for the show for its entire run. So that was three domestic Australian series. You took part in the second International Gladiator Series and two actual series against the UK. So one in the Australia and one filmed in the UK.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say endurance, speed and tactics were probably your strong points, with Pyramid being a particularly standout event for you, wasn't it? Along with Powerball, Wall and Hang Tough?
Yeah, it was. And I think because I was one of the taller girls and I had longer legs, I found those steps easier to get up. So I actually had very mobile hips. So, and as you said, I had very good interval training. So my recovery was fast and I was super fit. And I'm sure it's because of all the fitness that I was teaching and training that I was doing. So I was probably in my peak form at that time, no injuries. I loved it. I guess didn't seem that hard for me. I found the ones with the poggle sticks, I didn't really enjoy being hit around the head. So I shied away from, I sort of said, look, I'd rather do things where I'm running. I don't mind tackling because I've got three older brothers and, you know, I've played sports and, you know, big family and a sister and we've all played in the backyard. But I think for me, I was sensible enough to know that I didn't want to be hit around the head. And also I didn't want to fall off the tilt, you know, the tilt one where you pull the rope. I thought face plant on your neck. And I think I have seen one of the girls from the UK. Who was that? Was that?
It was Panther.
Panther? Yes. So I remember seeing that and that was a little traumatic. But yeah, I shied away from that. But I think I love the wall. I love, which is all upper body, I guess. A lot of upper body. Hang Tough was awesome. Hang Tough was great. Had no fear of that. Surprised myself that I could swing so well. And I think that was part of the enjoyment of doing the show is that I didn't know that I could actually do all these things until I gave it a go.
And look at Delta fly up here on the left. What a comeback this is. Delta now has Charity and I reckon she might even get her off the wall. Charity has to survive, but she can't.
You know, there's a lot of self-doubt where you can put yourself in a box and say, oh, no, that's something a bit too risky for me because I'm a little bit of a careful person. And I think the other one was the racetrack one. What was that where you're upside down?
Skytrack,
yes. Now, I really enjoyed that, but I felt petrified and I actually got vertigo from it. So I'd have to go out the back and lay down for a good hour to stop my head spinning. But I'm a car sick person, though, you know, I get in the car and I get car sick. So,
Kaz, your stats are absolutely fantastic. And a big shout out to super fan Daryl Ryan for telling us about these. So you competed in 61 shows, 124 battles, 47 one-on-one events. You only lost six and drew four, giving you a very impressive 83% success rate. That makes you must be the most successful female Australian gladiator. And as for Pyramid, you won 18 and lost only three times. That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. For someone who really wasn't sure of doing it, it was the best thing that I've ever done in my life with self-development, building up my self-confidence, even though people thought I was very confident because I was getting up teaching classes, as I said, at gyms in front of 50, 60 people. But for me, that was more of being on stage and knowing how to do it rather than being myself completely and switching off from how many faces are around. So I think I enjoyed Gladiators because of the part component of what it gave to kids and, you know, families. And it was such a great family show and it was innocent and it was back in the days when people were so much more positive and supportive. You know, we had our villains on the show, which everyone loved to hate, but then we had, you know, other people on the show that were in another character that, you know, they had their supporters. I think I was pretty lucky because I had the nice character. So I felt that when I'd walk up to people, they wanted a hug rather than, you know, booing me or, you know, they just always wanted me to kiss them or something like that. And we had to wear this horrendous red lipstick. I don't know what that was about. And our first series, we had our makeup done and our hair. And I thought I'd just walked off a TV show from the 70s or I don't know. It was a bit horrendous. I think we all looked at each other and just went, let's just go with it. It can't be that bad. Anyway, I love all the makeup artists that we had, but yeah, it was special. And I think we may have wiped a little bit off here and there and they just keep coming at us, touching it up, you know, and you'd leave red lipstick on your challenger and say, sorry. And sometimes it's on their face because, you know, you slap faces. And anyway, it's all good. We got better makeup as time went on. And yeah, we used to do the quick wipe off sometimes before we ran on. But our hair, I remember our hair. And I'm thinking of Lightning right now, because when I first saw a picture of Lightning, she had this, her hair was so big and curly and bouffant, I suppose that's, but it was I mean, it was beautiful at the time, I guess. But, gee, I thought, we had curlers in. I think, why have we got curlers in? We're about to tackle someone and sweat through this. And, you know, they come up and prime your hair. And it's like, this is not a photo shoot. This is full competition. I'm here to win. I'm not faking this. So I remember seeing lightning. And then later on, I remember seeing another picture. And then she had sort of toned down hair. And I think that's when we started toning things down a little bit as well in Australia. And I think some of us girls just said, listen, can we just back off the makeup slightly? Because really, is not natural. And for Australians, especially girls, we're very natural and go to the beach and we don't make ourselves up. Well, back in those days, we're a lot more natural. Do you know what I mean? So it was quite bizarre sitting there for an hour having your hair and makeup done and then losing it all in a brutal fight on Hang Tough, or, you know, you'd leave half your face on the mat. Yeah, I think I used to just sort of try and rip it back, and I was so full of adrenaline after all my events because I just loved it so much, you know, and I couldn't believe how much my heart would be thumping and I'd be sweating, and I'm not a big sweater, but for some reason I'd just be so full of excitement and the crowd and, you know, seeing kids smiling and having fun and families having fun. I think that's what drove me to stick with it and enjoy it more and not take it too seriously.
But let's look at the costumes for one moment, because
yes,
your costume, John Sachs actually mentioned that he said the tinfoil costumes. He nicknamed your costumes tinfoil, but they look very robust to me. What did you make?
Yes.
What was it like when they said, this is going to be your costume? Did you get involved with the design?
I think they just presented them to us from what I recall. And I don't know. I think I was happy with mine initially, even though there was a lot of breast action going on. So I was a little worried about that. And I'll go into that later, what happened there for me to change my costume. And then all I remember is the boys walking out, and it was just, I don't know what happened. All of us girls just went, oh, we're fine. We look great. But when the boys came out, all those little tidy whiteys, I don't know, but it was really funny. And they walked out, I think Ron Tower, I think he just said, are you kidding me? I'm not wearing this. And it was just, the whole place cracked up because he had I think he had a really low cut right down below the belly button initially, and they had to lift it up or something. And it was just it was like stringers. And he, you know, he's this big tough guy and he's pulling his pants out of his bottom and he's like, oh, I don't want to wear this. But I think they all got used to it and I think we embraced it. I did have a couple of costume changes with the design of my costume because I haven't told anyone this before. So this is a new thing. I was on Hang Tough and I did have my breast exposed with someone pulling my top down. So when that happened, I literally hung on by one hand, pulled my top up. And I think I just hugged into the girl and held on, and I was a bit mortified at the time. I don't know whether she saw it. So she's like, I'm sorry. So we're having this conversation. I go, that's all, I'm just going to hold on to you. I'm holding on to you. And then I thought, no, I've got to get her off these rings. And she's like, sorry, I'm sorry. And anyway, so I got her down, and I just remember the first thing, you probably see me, I don't know whether I get the footage or if we could, but you'll see me lay flat on my tummy and I'm literally tucking back in, and then I think I might even get up, and I've got a hand across here and I'm going looking like this, thinking, oh my gosh, exposed myself to the whole place.
And Delta is coming in now for the charge. Carly may have just skipped away a little bit and about to reach the 5-point rings, but Delta gets her, slaps on the cuffs, and it might be all over for the policewoman. It is no points.
After that, I actually kindly asked the wardrobe ladies, or I had to ask the producers and say, listen, I'm struggling with this costume. I feel that I'm a little bit too exposed. If this breaks here, it's going to be a whole nother show. So I had this tiny little bit of gathering at the top. So they closed it up for me. I had a sort of a hole. They closed it up for me and I said, oh, but you've got such great abs. And I went, I don't care. Shut it up. And from then on, I had a much better design, which I had less problems with, but a lot of wedgies because I think they made the bottom smaller then. So I'm not quite sure about that, but we had some really good spray on glue where you'd stick your costume to your bottom. And I tell you what, I went through that by the liters. I was spraying all day long because for some reason Diana, I don't know whether they did that to you, but the cameramen would love to get under you in the wall and shoot upwards as you went up the wall. So anyway, So, you know they're there and you know they're at the top and it's like, go up to him. You stop it down there. Get away.
Well, Kaz, over in the UK, they didn't quite have the spray. They had what they called bum stick, bum glue. So it was literally more of a roll-on than a spray. But I wanted to pick up about what was the team like? What was the dynamic like with the Australian team? Because, you know, we've obviously spoken a lot to the UK Gladiators, but it'd be interesting to see what the dynamic was for you guys. Did you all get on? Who did you get on with best?
Look, I think we all did. I think initially, to be completely honest with you, when we first went in and I sort of went in as just, okay, I'm learning what this is all about. And we started training together. I remember one incident where I came face to face with Storm and we had a little bit of a verbal reaction. Well, I had a verbal reaction because she was going full out. So in training, I just sort of went, hey, we're not meant to be full out tackling. We're going to injure each other. She got a bit frustrated with that and did it one more time. And I said, I'm going to walk out if you do that again, because something's going to happen. And because she was so fiercely competitive, and I got along with her fabulously. We were very good friends. But at that initial, it was almost like that was probably the only time I bumped heads with someone, but we sorted that out really quickly. And then from then on, I think the dynamics between us was pretty good. Like I was the youngest. So I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And I was at that young age, as I said, where I didn't have to give up my job. I always had a job to go back to. So I wasn't giving up being a teacher or an ambo or whatever they were doing at the time. I think one guy was an engineer, but I don't know. For me, it was easy transition to go and film and then to come home and work, because I always had a workplace to go to at the gym. And I was at a fantastic gym called Chatswood Fitness at the time, or Chatswood Chase, Chatswood Fitness. So that was great. And they were very, very helpful with releasing me and allowing me to come back. But I know for some of the other guys, they really struggled. There was probably a little bit more of between the producers and the Gladiators, a bit of friction. So I think our first series, when we recorded, we got put up in Queensland. If anyone knows Queensland, it's up north. It's one of the hottest states in Australia. They put us for the first series in this little hotel with no air conditioning. And we had very high 30s, which is that the same for you guys? If I say 36 degrees?
Yeah. That's roasting for us.
Yeah. So we, and then it was going up to the 40s and we got placed in this little hotel. And, I was like, oh, this is great. I'm just excited to be here. But unbeknownst to me, they all got together, some of the guys, and we had a team meeting about how we couldn't stay there because we were all going to die. We weren't going to die, but we were all going to not recover because it was so hot we couldn't sleep at night. So eventually they put us somewhere where there was air conditioning. And so there was a lot of sort of a little bit of friction between the team and maybe the producers to start with. Some of the older guys stirred up a few things, but they got us better pay, So yeah, it was, look, if we didn't have them, I probably would have just gone along with it and said, hey, this is great. But they did definitely speak up and make our working conditions better for us. So I was thankful to the older boys for that as well. And I think Vulcan was one of them, who John, he ended up in the UK Gladiators.
Kaz, I read somewhere, especially, particularly maybe in the early days, that to get you used to your Gladiator names, everybody in the show, so that's riggers and set designers, they were to only call you by your Gladiator name or be fined a small fee. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what? True. Yeah. So I got the nickname Delts or Delta, mainly Delts. Yeah, so all the riggers and all the guys that were working behind the scenes would have to call us by those names, and we would have to call each other by those names. So even now, to this day, we still sometimes call each other those names. It's bizarre. I'll still say, hey, Glacier, how are you? it's Lorraine, and Stormy or Blade, she's an English girl. So, and that's Bev. And, it's hard, still a bit hard to call them their proper name. It's really.
What do you make of Nigel initially?
Yeah, I actually really liked him. I suppose I like someone who just sets down the rules and says, this is how it is, and gives you some sort of direction. He was, I can't remember how often he was around. I think he wasn't around as much the second time I was there. I'm trying to remember. But he, yeah, he I think he just wanted it how he wanted it, and he was very good at vocalizing that. And as I said, I was young, so I probably went with it a lot more than others. So I pretty much liked everyone. You'd have to do something pretty bad to me for me not to like you. So, you know, for me, it was just nice to have. I think he was quite good friends with our producers, and we had fantastic producers who were lovely men and treated me very well. And I remember they pulled me to the side once and said, I'm going to make you a big star. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to be a big star. I don't want to hear that. And I said, I'm just happy to do this show. And I said, it's not Hollywood. And they just went, oh, we've got a live one here. And I said, but I'll do what you want me to do. So you just let me know within reason. And
what was it like when you knew then that your British counterparts were going to come out and visit you before you came over?
So excited. Yeah, and I was so excited because I think I did watch quite a few of your games. And to me, because we started so, you know, we had probably 50 people watching, and I think they put fake cheering in, maybe, and they filmed one section and they'd use that section and try and refilm but shuffle people around like we had a big crowd or something going on. It was so funny. And it took us all day to film one show. I remember once it took us the whole day to film one show. It was trying to set up cameras and whatnot. It was actually quite a long, tedious day. But we did, you know, we did start bringing people in quite quickly. A lot of people wanted to come and watch. And I think one of the times that I walked out, by the time you guys got there, we obviously had a bigger crowd. But yeah, it was definitely a big learning curve for everyone. And we had a lot of cameras and it was very expensive to make. I was made aware of that. And it was all under time constraint. And I think that's what our undoing was, that we lost of sponsors, or we just didn't have enough sponsors in Australia to continue injecting money into a show that was so expensive to make. So our set designs and everything shipped around all of those, and the storage, because they'd have to remove them right out of the building because they'd have other things coming in, like other shows. So if we had had a gladiator arena, it would have been a little bit different, and they could lower things and quickly change over 24/7 or every day. But I think we struggle a little bit that way, and that's sort of what they told us. It just got too expensive to make.
Kaz, going back to that, to Ashes, when the UK Gladiators had come over then, because for you it was kind of part of, it was during the filming of your second series, but obviously the UK Gladiators was a bit more established than that. How did the two, because Di, you went out there as well, how did the two teams get along behind the scenes? Was it quite competitive, or was it quite friendly?
I think we all gelled, and I think, you know, I think English are very much like us Aussies. So I think we tend to get along, and, you know, we've got a lot of friends here who have come over from the UK to live, and there's just that connection that we have, and we get each other's humour, and I loved it. I was so excited to finally meet Jet. You know, I hope I live up to her standards, or, you know, it was really nice, and I was excited to meet some of the other girls, and the guys were huge. I know Rhino was very big. He was huge. And even though he was a bit shorter, he was huge. And who was the tall?
Warrior.
Oh, my goodness. I think I just stood there for a while looking at him thinking, holy cow, who is this guy? He was huge. And I thought, how are our challengers going to not come out of this injured? Because I thought, these guys are going to break their bones. So, I had lots of fun, and, you know, I loved Cobra. He was hilarious, and it was great behind the scenes, you know, and our gladiators were fun. Vulcan used to always pick me up and throw me around for some reason. Mark McGaw would, I don't know, get me in headlocks or lift me up or whatever it was. But I think they treated me like a little sister. So, as I said, a lot of them were quite a bit older than me. But yeah, I remember meeting them, and the girls. I just thought the girls were beautiful and really friendly. I just think we all gelled quite well together, and I was really excited.
Heron will be pursued by the Australian gladiator Delta, while Kerry will be trying to keep clear of the British gladiator, Jet.
Jet's 5'6", 60 kilos, and is built for speed. Delta, 5'7", 62 kilos. Look out, Kerry.
Jet, you let her get away.
I wish I didn't just let her get away. It's a bit of a mean feat, but she was very quick, you've got to admit.
She certainly was. Now, Kerry, you needed those 10 points.
I did try my hardest, but she was on my tail as soon as the whistle went.
I know you're a uni student, but the walls are my best subject.
The hospitality you guys showed us was bar none. We went into Sydney, we had a beautiful meal looking out over the harbour. Nigel was in his element. I think he'd been up to the Blue Mountains, and we did a lot of filming for the British series as well. There's some sort of little inserts and sort of buffers the beginning to the end of things, and it was beautiful. Thought out. The producers did so well. It was obviously we tried to part treat it as a holiday because we'd never been to the other side of the planet, but we had some serious work to do. And because of how much in love and how dedicated you guys were to your new show, the discipline was there. So it was a beautiful balance of work, professionalism, and discipline, and also having great times.
I was excited. I mean, we love Australia. I mean, I'm Australian. I've lived in different cities in Australia, but there's something special about Sydney, and there's definitely something special about what we have here as a whole, as a country. So I think I felt the excitement for you when you guys sort of came in and we all met each other, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And when I got picked to go over to the UK, I was really nervous of the long flight. I'd never done such a long flight, but I was really excited to go, and I was so excited that it's probably the only time I've ever taken a sleeping pill in my whole life. I was on the plane just like this, and I thought, I'm not going to be able to sleep. And they said, you have to sleep because we're straight into it when we get there. So I remember someone giving me something, and I don't remember the rest of the flight. So it was great. I got there, I was fresh as a daisy and no fear on the plane. And, you know, it was a very, very long flight, but you guys were equally amazing when we went there.
What did you make of our arena? Because obviously our arena had, we only stayed at the National Indoor Arena in Birmingham. That was our home.
Yeah.
And I'm aware from what you've just said that you guys didn't have like a fixed home. Australia's a much bigger country. You have big venues like the NBA, but nothing was really appointed and drawn. It felt like our home. What was it like walking into our arena for the first time?
Yeah, look, I think you guys definitely had more lights. Like it seemed a little bit more like a lightning show in the series. Like there was definitely a lot more glitz with when Pendulum came out, and the setup was fast. I remember things just went really quickly. Like you wouldn't get a break and you'd be up to your next challenge. You know, they'd call you up and out you'd go. And I remember there wasn't as much for me sitting around, I guess. I think you just ran it a lot quicker. And as I said, you just had a lot more space, I think, as well. And everyone had a job and they stuck to it, but you probably had a lot of practice by then. I'm not sure how many series that you had done when we first started. Do you know how many?
It would have been probably 4 series, I think it was.
Yeah, you were running like clockwork by then. So it was really nice to go there and everything was so professional. And not saying that we weren't professional, but it just, you know, you guys got really taken care of, and which was nice.
So now that we've met our female contenders, let's meet the female gladiators they'll be facing tonight.
From the United States of America, Ice and Jazz. From Australia, Delta, Storm and Flame. From South Africa, Sahara and Delilah. From Germany, Power. From Russia, Astra. And from the United Kingdom, Bold, Panther and Vulcan.
What about some of the events that you didn't have, like pole axe and pendulum?
Yeah, okay. I passed on the pole axe. I got stuck at the top of the pole axe and I would not let go for quite a while because I was saying, do not press that button. I think I nearly cried up there. It was really scary. And when I did come down, I think it did take the wind out of me, but it just wasn't, I didn't mind the heights of the wall because I rock climbed, but pole axe, I don't know how high was that. That was, and you had nothing. You had no padding or back braces, or I just remember going to the top of it and falling in it. I could have counted to 10, but probably not. It's probably 2. And I think one of the girls in our team, she might have winded herself or hurt her back. And I just sort of went, that's not for me. I just put my foot down and said, I'm too scared. I can't play that. I love pendulum, even though it was really tough to hold on because the weight was, you know, it was really strong on your forearms. And But pole axe for me, I think I saw that was something bad was going to happen. As I said, I'm quite a cautious person.
From the top of pole axe to hitting the airbag. Yeah. And of course, when you hit an airbag, there's a technique to it. You have to keep very stiff and strong.
Yes, stiff. Yes.
Your instinct was right because it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000 we hit.
Yeah, it was. And you knew it was coming. They told you to count to get to the bottom so that you could expect it.
Exactly.
And we actually, I don't know about you, but we had stuntmen from the movie world where they film a lot of movies now. So we had professional stuntmen come in and we did a whole day of learning how to fall and how to brace and how to roll out of things. And I remember you know, we're a bit bruised and battered, but even to this day, when I have an accident, I automatically go, like if I trip over, I automatically know where to put my arm to roll. And it's funny how it instinctively comes back and how to brace yourself. And I remember doing it first and thinking, there's no way you can fall off this. And we'd be jumping off the bridge and off the tilt. And they're, you know, they made us do it so much. And we weren't allowed to play certain games until we sort of mastered how to fall properly, because they really didn't want us to get injured. But I did not like to, I didn't like to play those games anyway.
It sounds to me like you guys got a good end of the deal, because obviously we'd moved in towards year four. And initially,
Andy
will side with me on this, when we were in the arena from year one, we were trying out some of the events in real time, because some of them had been modified
or
brought on from the American show. And we had the rigs, some of the riggers were kind of thrown onto them to sort of try them out. As fodder.
No, no, they did that. They did that with us too. So we got the bungee jumping one. Yes. Oh, what was the name of that? See, here goes my brain.
Swing
what
shot.
Was the bungee? Swing shot. Yeah. So we had, they were on there and they were having a great time. And, you know, by then we trusted them, because I remember when I learned to go on the wall, I was a bit terrified. And I remember yanking on that cord and looking up and doing, you know, these fingers, like fingers to my eyes, to pointing to them, like to their eyes. Do you see me? I'm going up now. Don't drop me. And I must admit, when I went to the UK and I did the wall there, I was a little petrified, because I couldn't see where the guy was up in the sky who had me on a bungee cord, but I couldn't see anyone. So I'm thinking, do they have me? I hope they have me, because everything was tucked away. And I just think that's why I didn't want to let go. But I fully trusted the Australian crew. They were fantastic. They'd give me a thumbs up before the game began, and I had no problem. But yeah, I remember doing the international one and just thinking, all these riggers don't know me. I don't know them. Are they there? Is there anyone there? Yeah, but it all worked out well in the end. And as I said, you guys were true professionals.
This wide brown land has produced some wonderful sporting achievements down the years. The rigors of just surviving in this far-flung colony has taught us strength, courage, and endurance to take us to the top in international sporting arenas. Now we defiantly say to the nation that taught us so many things, stand aside. The Aussies are back, and we're not about to give up the Ashes. It's the next Battle of Britain.
Well, talking about injuries, when the Ashes return, when you filmed in the UK, you were injured on power ball, weren't you? Whiplashed your neck and ended up in a neck brace. Now, I did kind of want to bring in producer Paul at this point, because it's been brought to my attention that he still made you pose for a photo backstage. You probably can't remember it. I mean, I'm sure Paul remembers it vividly.
I do. And I thought, this kid's so cute. Look at him. He's so cute. I mean, he came and he was just big wide eyes and he was like so happy. And I just went, I can't say no. Like, I have to do this. And I said, I'm sorry, because I had a neck brace on and I was like, sorry. You know, no makeup, no nothing.
Yeah, I have to apologize. I remember being backstage and seeing you, and obviously I was so young, I just saw you guys as like superheroes, and I was like, I knew that you'd been injured and I saw the neck brace, but I was like, I just need to have a photo with Delta, that's it, end of. Not knowing how probably inappropriate it was.
It was fine. I'm very easygoing. It was fine. And I just remember thinking, oh, that's really sweet. And, you know, I used to love the kids coming up and having photos, and then they wouldn't let go of you normally. It'd be like, okay, you can let go of my leg now. Or, you know, the baby didn't want to go out of your arms. They'd just be staring at you. But, you know, that was fine. And I probably don't remember a bit, because I probably had a bit of, head knock, brain rattle, whatever you want to call it at the time. But I do remember actually meeting you, and then you shared that photo of us together. I went, oh, that's right. You're the little kid. Yeah. Very sweet.
So, Paul, just summarize your feelings towards Delta in terms of what she was like as a gladiator, and of course as a person you've met in a neck brace.
Yeah, I mean, a trooper, I think is the word. But yeah, I think Delta was so known to all of the UK fans, I think, and had made such an impact from all of the members of the team to the UK audience as well. I think everybody knows who Delta is when she's kind of mentioned. I think just that camera presence that you had, you were always very happy and smiling, but always did really well in the games and was very determined as well. So I think you kind of had the true gladiator spirit that all of the fans loved, basically. And I do think that you were the Australian Jet. I do think you lived up to that mantle. So
Delta, 10 points to you. You got her very quickly.
I think I was smiling at her the whole time, and I think that's why I got her.
But you're always smiling, Delta.
I know, I just come out here and have fun. That's all that matters to me.
And from that quite heartwarming moment, let's kind of move on now to a more sad note, which is the end of the Australian Gladiators. I mean, I think we probably got this and the revival series to move on to for the next two bits. But did you think it ended too soon? Or did you think the audience tired of it being on? Because it was on a bit more consistently than it was perhaps in the UK in terms of how long it was on for.
I think it could have gone longer, but I'm going to share a little secret with you, is that I'd actually had a conversation with the producer that I wanted to leave because of that fall that I had. And I had 8 months of therapy in my neck, after which was never came out in any papers or anything like that. I just sort of went with my everyday life. But I actually had a little bit of compression in my neck and ended up with a physio for 6 months to 8 months. And so for me, I was sort of like, oh, wow, that's good timing. Because initially when I brought up the fact that I may want to leave because of that, it just gave me a bit of a scare, that's all. And I had a little bit of rotator cuff stuff going on as well from a lot of the upper body. And I was engaged at the time and I wanted to travel still. I hadn't quite traveled with my boyfriend, who is now my fiance, and we wanted to get married. And I think it was just the right time for me to move on. And, you know, I did want to sort of pursue a little bit in TV presenting, which I did do a little bit after we have Foxtel here when it was new here. There was a few little things that I did there. But ultimately, I think I was, after that fall and after I injured myself, I had quite a bit of neck pain and I wasn't allowed to run and certain things I couldn't teach so at the gym. So that was sort of enough for me to say, hey, I think I've had a good go. And as I said, I got selected for a lot of games. I've played a lot of games here. I never had to ask for games. I never had to sort of say, hey, listen, I'm only on once for this one. I knew that I was being rested. So I didn't have to fight anyone else to play a game.
And you weren't tempted to come over and join the UK Gladiators then?
Well, I think because, hey, if I hadn't got injured, I think I would have loved that, because Vulcan and I were actually really good teammates together and we had some really good banter between the two of us. And yeah, I think he was definitely sort of the standout character, even though the rest of the guys were quite popular, but he was the guy type thing. And I think it would have been fun. Yeah, I probably would have said yes, seen how I went and moved on from then.
And her Australian Gladiator is Delta.
The Delta Lady, a firm favourite from down under. Veteran of the previous Ashes series, stands 170 and 62 kilos, 3 centimetres taller than Michelle, but a kilo lighter.
In Australia, you then had the revival series in 2008, and that was the closest to the original out of all the revival series, really. Did you watch it? What was your opinion on it?
Yeah, look, I was excited. I thought, this is great. And I actually sent an email to, I don't even know if they got it, but I sent an email to saying, hey, listen, if you want someone to come in and be a trainer or to help teach the girls how to climb the wall or do this or do that. And I didn't get a reply back. So I sort of, at the time, had young kids anyway and just moved on with that. But I think they lost a little bit the essence of Gladiators. It sort of became a little bit more sci-fi.
The characters weren't as genuine, were they, really?
Yeah, it was a bit forced, a bit sort of forced characters. So, but I thought the costumes were fantastic, the concept and everything. I loved all the, you know.
Well, because over in the UK, our revival had like legends, you know, the originals were able to return. Had they asked you, because I know they didn't do that for the Australian revival series, if they had asked you, would you have been tempted to pull the lycra back on?
Yes, as long as I could pick my games. So I would do the wall. I'd do pursuit if they still had pursuit, because that's, yeah, I'm not going to fall on my head. And yeah, there probably would have been a couple of games I would have done. Definitely, I would have come back because I was back fit, even though I'd had two children. And I think at that stage, so I had probably a 7, 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. So it would have been amazing. And I was back in great shape and fit again. So yeah, I probably would have done that for sure if I could pick my games.
Talking about your personal life, you know, obviously James, he got, was it to the quarterfinal of series 3, didn't he? Did you ask the other male Glads to go a bit easy on him?
I was a little terrified, and the boys would be out the back saying, oh, look who's coming up next. We're going to smash him, and we're going to give it to him. And they go, shh, Delta's here. Can't talk anymore about what we're going to do to him. And I was like, guys, please don't. No, you're terrorizing me. And it was just obviously they were just, you know, being those big annoying brothers and freaking me out a little bit. But he did get past Tamer on pyramid. So he ducked. And Hammer had got so, I don't want to use the word cocky, but he's an Australian rugby league player. This guy's a bit of a legend in Australia. And he went for the big jump, like he used to launch and see how many steps between the contender challenger there was before he could, you know, he'd try and go three steps and then jump from the fourth step up. So it looked like this massive dive and it was quite spectacular. And I think James luckily just ducked and he went over the top and I was like, sucked in. But it was one of those moments where I was backstage going, yes! But he didn't quite, I think he was just a second behind hitting the buzzer, so he didn't quite get it. But no, they did not take it easy on him and he actually got injured. He hurt his back on a new game that we had with the horse.
Joust,
yeah. We didn't have that very long. I think they only used it in a couple of games or a couple of shows, that was it. But he came off that awkwardly, got beaten up pretty badly and hurt his back. So he struggled with the next time he was fully strapped up and I just said, look, just do what you can do. But we had some amazing, amazing challengers on the show that I still keep in contact with some of them too, especially Glacier, who became Loreen, who won the tall blonde Loreen, who was Glacier. She's a phenomenal. She was a karate world champion four times over or something. But she was like the only other woman I know that could pick me up and swing me around. And she was strong enough to do that. She was so good that when they asked us if we think she would make a good gladiator, I'm like, yes, make her a gladiator. She's awesome. So she ended up coming in on the show and that changed the dynamics with the girls and it was fun. It was so cool. Really cool for her, I think, too.
So we've got Lisa in the red, Debbie in the blue, up against Glacier and Delta. It was Delta's birthday last week. This week she's engaged. I wonder if she's got any more surprises for us up here on the pyramid. As she tangles Lisa, and what a confidence builder for Delta. She takes her all the way down to the bottom. Now Glacier's just stalking Debbie, waiting for her to make a move. Delta right there with Lisa, the flying tackle, and she brings her down once more.
And is it really cool for your not two babies? Because how old are your two now? Having
parents,
what do they feed back to you now when they're actually old enough now to kind of go, my parents are famous?
They're pretty humble. Jasmine, she's 21 and she's just finished university here, which is college in America or maybe uni there. So, and my son just finished year 12 last year. So he's done a year of uni as well. So he wants to be a filmmaker. He wants to end up making movies and he loves that. But he was an athlete and my daughter was a gymnast. And, you know, we've never pushed them into sports. They just did it to enjoy it. And I used to say it's a good foundation for the rest of your life. And they stay fit now. They go to the gym, play soccer as part of social clubs. But I don't know, we don't really talk about it.
Have they not gone onto YouTube and have they not checked out, you know?
I'm sure they have. And I do remember having my son's friends come over and I could hear them in the room playing old shows and they come out and then they, you know that, Paul, you probably had this look in your eyes when you, I don't know, you could explain it better, but when you were watching someone on screen or on the show or in life and then you'd actually meet them and this look comes over your face, like their faces, something happens and they morph into something. You could almost snap your fingers in front of them and they wouldn't blink.
Yeah, it's like meeting a real life superhero, yeah. It's like the superheroes from the TV are there in front of you.
It was so cute. But when I did do Gladiators and I came back, my brother-in-law, who was actually 9 at the time, he's a sixth child in my husband's family. So he was a late one. And he was 9 and he would have all his mates come over to meet Delta. And it was so cute because imagine him at school in Australia just saying, my sister-in-law, or, you know, at the time I wasn't married then, I don't think, though. But she's a gladiator. Come over and meet her. She's in my house. So it was every boy's dream, little kid come true. And, you know, more and more would come over and they'd get a little bit older and then they'd forget about me. And
I mean, they could be gladiators of the future. If Gladiators was to come back and they wanted to go for it, is it something that you would kind of encourage them to do?
I think my son would probably be interested. He at this stage, he's really interested in trying to do Ninja Warrior. So he's been training quite a bit, trying to get his strength up. And because he was an athlete, he's quite strong in the legs, but he's sort of had to, being 18, he's had to start to develop, you know, to that next stage of his upper body catching up through those weird teenage years. But I think he would love to try and do Ninja Warrior, actually, which is very similar. You've got that there, which is pretty cool. And, you know, I converse quite a bit online with Ninja Warrior, the guys that have won series on that as well. And I've said, oh, you know, it's like the new Gladiators in a little way, a little bit. It's fun. You know, if I was younger, I'd do Ninja Warrior For sure. I think there's more chance of getting injured in Ninja Warrior.
Would GLADS ever work again in Australia, do you think?
People ask me that all the time and they're like, why don't they bring it back? And I really think it comes down to sponsorship and having enough financial backing. I think it would be great if they did have a new generation or if they switched it around a little bit, maybe had some different new games or maybe changed the concept a little bit without losing the essence of it. It's hard to do over something that was so huge. Like, they did Greece and then they tried Greece too. It didn't work. I mean, it would be great, but will it work? It would, I don't know. There's a new generation. People love reality shows. Would it have enough fighting, in-house fighting, like the other reality shows we watch?
Yes.
Or would it be great for people to think, well, wow, now we've got something old school, which is a little bit more innocent again and a little bit more enjoyable without all the drama? I'd give two thumbs up if they put the concept out there and said, yeah, let's do it. I'd say go for it. I'd have no issues and love to be a part of it.
There was just one question that I've always kind of wondered as a fan reading the kind of the Australian Gladiators magazines, which I got sent over back in the day over to the UK. And it was always about this fourth series, which was like very much kind of in the production stages before it was kind of taken off air. And you guys were going to go and get the Pendulum event, and there was some kind of unique events to Australia that were apparently planned. Did you ever get an idea of what those events were going to be? Did the producers let you know, or were you guys kind of kept in the dark until like literally recorded?
Yeah, I think we're a little bit kept in the dark. I think it was more the logistics of how they were going to introduce it or put it in, or I probably switched off a little bit by then and didn't listen as much because I had maybe a little bit more of an intention of leaving. I was a little bit up in the air about that, but I just don't remember those conversations really happen. There was chit chat around, and I remember one of the guys said to me, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a show anymore. And I sort of went, well, where did that come from? And he goes, oh, I'm not going to say any more. I think that's the only inkling I had that maybe we weren't going to go ahead anymore. But any new games I don't know.
I'm rebooking at the time with you to do a take two for Kaz Lanahan, sure. Delta from the Australian Gladiators, the premier female, if I may add, of the Australian Gladiators. Is it okay for us to leave it there with you for this time? But we look forward to speaking with you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been really nice to, it's brought me out of my little COVID spin a little bit more too, because it's brought some happiness back into my life. And it's nice to see Paul, the super fan, and speak to you, Diane. I feel very special, and thank you so much for asking me to be part of this. I'm really, really grateful. Thank you.
So there we have it, Delta on the GladPod, the Australian Jet, as she was being pitched as. But what I loved about her, Paul, was that she wasn't really keen on being a gladiator. She wanted to go travelling instead, but the producers were quite keen to make her a star.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad that they did manage to convince her, because she was an amazing gladiator and obviously one of the most high profile from their show. But yeah, that was funny how she was kind of not really bothered about going for the tryout and how they had to really convince her to kind of jump on board, and the fact that her husband James, who obviously went on to become a contender or challenger, as they called him in Australia, wanted to join the show more. It was funny to hear that she had to take so much convincing, but obviously, like you say, brought so much to it. So the producers obviously saw something in her that perhaps she didn't see in herself.
And I think it was making me laugh with talking about her now husband, James, when he was on the show and the male gladiators were joking about destroying him. I thought, you can just completely picture that, you know, the visual that she created with that behind the scenes. You could definitely see that kind of joking going on.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Hammer, he was a force to be reckoned with. He was like probably one of the best gladiators in the world on that event. He had like so many moves. He would literally fly through the air and grab the contender and fling them. So I can imagine how Delta would have felt if they were obviously going for James more than probably the other contender, just to prove a point. Maybe even more so knowing that he wanted to be a gladiator himself.
And Di, the one thing that I took away from that as well was how the Australian Gladiators were initially a bit scripted in their kind of interviews after the events, and they had some like cheesy one-liners to the camera. So when you guys sort of come together, is there a bit of, oh, so you just like wing it, or you just, you know, say how you feel after the event? You don't have any script? Or was there any of that kind of conversation that you two as two groups had together?
Not
that I can remember, to be honest. But then today I'm thinking, what can I remember about that period of time other than they were the warmest, most natural? And that's the contradiction here. They're naturally, I find, Australians and our Australian gladiators, they were just so organically fluid, naturally athletic. They seemed to really love, particularly Delta, being in the arena. It was just a really natural home for her because they just have a more athletic outlook in life because they've got a better climate. So they're, you know, at school, they enjoy athletics more, just generally. So I don't think there was any kind of, oh, you guys are just allowed to be what you are and we've got these cheesy scripts. They would take the mickey out of them. There was a lovely gladiator called Fury and I nicked one of her too. I think we did a top exchange. That does sound sordid, but it's not, okay? You know, the sort of the spandex tops that we had, she had one in as part of her uniform and she just gave me it. I'm like, oh, that's really lovely. She didn't have it on. She just gave me it and I think I've still got it somewhere. And I know, Paul, you'll be going, oh, brilliant, another piece of gladiator memorabilia from Australia. But she had this sort of lots of long, curly, dark hair and she would take the mickey out of the little scripts that they would be given. And she said, you know, we're just having fun with it. It feels like a bit of what you'd call panto over in England. So I don't think they took it that seriously in terms of that, or were particularly envious of the fact that we, from the beginning, had been allowed to be just who we are. I think each producer's style for each show across the globe, I suppose, in International Gladiators, had their own take on it.
But Di, you did have one of those cheesy lines. I don't know if you remember, but during the Ashes, when you filmed it in Australia, you had to do a piece to camera. We'll play the audio clip in a minute as well. But you had to say, my smile and my grace often belies my will to win.
I remember that now. I remember that. It was true, though. I think I probably part wrote it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's spot on. It is true, but yeah.
I'm Jet. My smile and my grace often belie my will to win.
Ashes. Those head the camera shots, what you guys had to do, was something that we didn't have in the UK show. So it was interesting to see that as well.
I remember the day we were all out. It was so warm, humidly warm out there. Oh, so good to be out there. I think we were filming up in the Blue Mountains or somewhere gorgeous. Yeah, I was just thinking frizzy hair, cheesy lines. But actually, I think Kenny was out there with us. He'd written that, but I could have written that as well. Is cheesy, but it was fine. It was just a bit of fun.
And I know we speak quite a lot about sort of the team and how close-knit the teams are. And I think whenever you have people that work so closely together, you are always going to have fallouts. And I was quite impressed by how we're just talking about that sort of verbal altercation that she had with Storm, the way she described it. You know, there was an issue. They had it out. They moved on. They got on with the show. And I think you couldn't have the show successes as they had without having people having disagreements and just getting on with it, because that's what you had to do. You couldn't leave anything bubbling away, could you?
And that's exactly what we want to find out on this GladPod, isn't it? We want to hear about those little nuggets of information that we wouldn't have known about before. With, like you said, David, everybody in every line of work has some kind of like disagreement or altercation with somebody, and then it gets sorted out and it's absolutely fine. So it's not taking away anything from their friendship or being part of a team, but the fact that she divulged that information to the fans is a bit of gladiator's gold, I think, definitely.
And as always, there's always, whether it's US, UK or Australia, I think we're going to hear the same thing, which is that the crew and riggers were reprimanded in some way if they didn't use the gladiators by their gladiator names. But for Australia, Delta was saying that they get fined, which definitely seemed a bit more intense than perhaps would have happened in the UK.
Yeah, Di, I don't know if I've never heard anything about the UK gladiators being fined for not using their kind of gladiator names. I know it was always encouraged, but I've never heard anything about anybody being fined for that.
I'm just trying to remember what it would have been like had any of our crew, and they were just solid. And in fact, the same crew that we had from year one were right through with us, because it was such a skill to learn how to rig each of the events, particularly in the time constraints of filming a whole show. 1 hour would take up to 7 hours, and we'd do two shows a day. So our riggers had to get really good, riggers and crew, at doing the whole thing. It was a big machine. And I'm just trying to picture some of the characters being told you will be fined if you do not refer to Di as Jet and all the rest by their gladiator names. I think they would have just given it back to say, what the? No way. There was such a great group of people. In fact, I've been back to ITV over the many, many years doing guesties or doing work myself as a presenter or anything like that, and you still see some of the crew on various other shows. I mean, that's solid, that's staunch. And I think the professionalism of having to call somebody by their handle or their character name on set, no matter what the production is, I'd find a little bit, yeah, the Brits wouldn't take that.
And Paul, I can't let you get away without talking just a little bit more about having that picture with Delta after her neck injury. And what was crazy with that is that we were describing it to her as if she wouldn't remember. And she actually remembered it. And she remembered quite a lot of detail as well.
I mean, how embarrassing is that? All of these years later, and like you say, at the time, I just didn't really appreciate how probably inappropriate it was going to somebody who'd sustained a neck injury to then ask for a photograph. But I think my super fanness at that time just took over. And like you say, she was fine with it. But yeah, I am cringing inside at the fact that that happened, but it was quite nice that she obviously remembered it as well. So,
well, she definitely had fond of memories of you. The one thing she didn't have fond memories of, which did make me laugh and still make me laugh now, the whole red lipstick and the bad makeup in that first series. And it got me thinking as she was saying it, really, Di, with you, was that kind of makeup and how your face looked, was that quite a big thing for you when you were on Gladiators?
Good question. You know, we had one of the best makeup departments. I think Louise, can't remember her surname, maybe one for you to research, Paul, head of makeup. It was a bit nonsensical, really, because half the time you're sweating and you've got helmets and stuff on, so it's going to get pulled around and smudged across your face anyway. But the lighting scheme was super bright, so we had to have quite a lot of makeup on, and a lot of us weren't comfortable with that. I'd sort of be handed a mascara, and Louise would just look at me and she'd go, lots, lots and lots and lots. And I'd just look at her and go, is it waterproof? But as for the red lips, I think everyone was given a red lip, maybe even Cobra.
Yeah, I definitely could think Cobra enjoying some red lipstick. But that's it for the Glad Pod this week. As always, let us know what you enjoyed about the episode, or any memories, fresh memories that have emerged now off the back of it, or any questions that you may have. As always, the email address you need is gladpod@gladiatorstv.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and like our page on Facebook.
Good competition, good spirit, great sportsmanship as both contenders show mutual respect. Join us again next week for the ultimate challenge, the might of...